just a moment. Miss Terry's going to play for any of our young'uns that like to go to children's church. They're going to be meeting over here to my left at the Welcome Center. You're right. So we'll give plenty of time. If you're in the balcony or on the floor, please feel free to make your way for children's church, okay? I know they're going to have a great time. And while they're getting that way, I want to call your attention to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And if you would, find verse 37. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Be sharing from there. We have been traveling through the book of the Revelation for quite some time. And we are to chapter 9 now. And we'll pick that up in the coming weeks. But I really felt compelled to the Lord today to talk to you on this specific subject of believer's baptism. And while you're turning there, I want to recommend something to you. I'm always recommending things you need to read, because if you're going to lead, you got to read. Amen. Readers are leaders. And if you stop reading today, you stop learning tomorrow, you stop being able to pass on to the next generation the things that they will need and that you need. But years ago, I came across the manuscript before it was ever put in print to the writings of Dr. Adrian Rogers, What Every Christian Ought to Know. If you haven't read his book, What Every Christian Ought to Know, I recommend it to you highly. It's just basic principles, basic fundamentals of the faith every Christian needs to know in order to not just survive, but to thrive. Amen? You know, the Lord didn't just save you to just get by. He saved you to serve if you're a child of God. And he saved you not just to serve, but that you might thrive in your relationship with him. So I recommend highly to you, and there's a section in there on believer's baptism, which we're going to talk about today. And y'all won't believe this, but I had to rob a few things from Dr. Rogers. Amen? I mean, really, I thought, man, he's been with the Lord 17 years. Look at all this stuff he stole from me. Amen? No, I'm kidding. But now, choir, I apologize that y'all have to stare at my bald spot today. Amen? But maybe the light won't hit it and blind you. But Acts chapter 2. And verse 37, if you found your place and physically able, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And it'll also be on the screen for you to follow along if you need that as well. There'll be an outline put up there as we walk through this passage. And I encourage you to listen aggressively today. Amen. Here's what the Bible says, Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this... We're going to talk about what this is in just a minute. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We pray you add your blessing to the reading of it. We pray that your word will fall upon fertile spiritual soil today. That it will take root and bring forth fruit. That lives will be changed and the Son of God will be glorified. In Christ's name I humbly pray, amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Today I'm speaking to you on the subject of believer's baptism because of its importance and because of the fact that we are seeing God do some great things in the lives of many people here in our community. Our Lord Jesus gave us two very important ordinances to observe within his church. He gave us the Lord's Supper, which some call communion, means the same thing. And he also gave us what we've experienced today, believer's baptism. And can I say what a blessing it is to witness believer's baptism. To witness a person who has placed their faith in Christ, taking their first step of obedience and following the Lord in believer's baptism. Both of these ordinances, the Lord's Supper and believer's baptism, are not only very important, but they are commanded to be observed by those who have trusted him as both Savior and Lord. I love what Adrian Rogers said when he said this. He said, baptism is one of the most important, meaningful, and beautiful experiences in the Christian life. You will be greatly blessed when you submit to it. He said, someone may say, baptism, that's just incidental. Some would say it really makes no difference. Well, I want you to know, as Dr. Rogers said, I want to destroy that philosophy. If that is your philosophy, friend, you need to know that baptism is not incidental, it is fundamental. And we should never minimize what God has maximized. I really believe it's a sad reality today that believers' baptism is not taken seriously and even sometimes viewed as a formality with many and within society and even within the walls of the local church. Years ago, I became a pastor at a church, and it was I was new to the town and to the church, and I had some young people coming to faith in Christ, and but they were reluctant to submit to believers' baptism, so I was inquired why, and here was their answer. My Sunday school teacher, who also was a deacon in that church, has told us it is not that important, and if we don't want to get wet, we don't have to. Y'all won't believe this, but we had to have a little come to Jesus meeting with that brother, amen? Because that is so sad. He told them that it wasn't important, that it really was just a formality, and if they didn't want to, it wasn't that important. Well, I believe as John MacArthur, he said this, he said, I believe this failure to take baptism seriously is at the root of the most serious problem in today's church. Because it betrays an unfaithfulness to the simple and direct commands of our Lord. Let me just share with you some reasons that some people use for dismissing the importance of believers' baptism. I'm going to walk through them rather quickly. One is simply the reason of ignorance. Now, when we say the word ignorant, some people think that is a slam toward another person, and it really is not. It just means they do not possess the knowledge necessary to make the proper decision. Like if I went to work with Brother Bobby tomorrow, he's a surveyor, civil engineer, I am ignorant of his job. I would not be able to go to his job and begin to give instructions. I would have to follow instructions because he has the knowledge that I do not possess. If I went to work with my brother Mark Riddle tomorrow, who is a great plumber, I am the world's worst plumber. I can touch a perfectly good line and it will start leaking. I do not have any plumbing skills, and I do not profess it. Sometimes a man just has to admit what he's not good at. But I know how some of you guys are. Mama says something's broke and you pull that S on your chest out. You're like, I got this. And the next thing you know, she had one thing broke. Now she's got three things broke. She's got a husband who's got his fingers cut open. He's up at the emergency room getting sewed up. No, it's not a slam at all. But I want you to know, such a person who uses this excuse has been ill-taught about baptism or has not been taught about it at all. The second reason that some use is pride. Some people choose not to be baptized as a matter of spiritual pride. I cannot understand how you could submit to the Lord and trust Him for eternal salvation and not follow Him in believers' baptism. Third is indifference. These people understand the New Testament teaching about baptism. They're not against it. They may even believe in it, but they never get around to applying it. Because they obviously just don't think it's important. That goes with a lot of things in spiritual life. Fourth is defiant. Some people are just defiant. These people flatly refuse to be baptized. Most often it is because they are courting sin in their lives and they are not about to get up in front of a congregation of people and publicly acknowledge their submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the joy of knowing Him because their walk don't match their talk. Woo! Many people are like, no, I can't get in front of those people because they know how I really am. Then there's a fifth reason people use to not be baptized, and it's the lack of regeneration. See, this last category describes people who are not really Christians. So they have no inner prompting of the Spirit of God that would compel them toward obedience, and they enjoy the blessing of being around the church, but not the desire to make a public profession. A lot of people liked to be around Jesus when he was walking on the earth. They wanted to be in his vicinity, but they did not want to experience his victory. They wanted to be around his presence without submitting to his almighty power. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of people today that want to identify with the church for all the wrong reasons. There are a lot of people who want to be identified with the church for what it will do for them socially, politically, and all these other adverbs that we ain't got time to talk about. But I'm here to tell you today, there's a difference in being around the church and being in Christ. When you get in Christ, you'll realize you're not around the church. You are blessed to be a part of the body of Christ, which is the church, and he wants you to serve him with all your heart. Friend, don't let your lack of regeneration be your excuse. Come to Jesus while there's still time in this day of grace. I believe of all the spiritual things we could think of and all the scriptural texts that we could deal with on this subject, I really felt led to talk about Acts chapter 2. This passage is literally about the birth of the New Testament church that you, if you're a follower of Christ, are part of today. Today, what happens with baptized believers, they begin a new life with Christ. Our t-shirts we baptize in and give them just says made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Excuse me, behold, all things become new. It's a new life. And because they begin a new life, they begin to do things and live in such a way they never would before. They have a new agenda. Someone else is in charge of their life other than themselves. And his name is God Almighty. See, Peter had just finished his sermon on the day of Pentecost in the text just prior to where we read today. Peter's sermon was a powerful sermon. It was a piercing sermon, and it had a dramatic effect on the listeners. I'll never forget something I heard Adrian say years ago. He said this. He said, the test of your preaching, pastor, is not how many people show up to hear you preach. The test of your preaching is how many people will live differently this week as a result of being there on Sunday. So I believe that with all of my heart. Walk through the text with me real quick. He talked about a pressing request. You see that in verse 37? Ladies and gentlemen, when the gospel is presented, it has a strong effect. You can't hear the gospel and not make a decision whether to accept or reject the Son of God. It is the only message in the world that offers eternal hope, help, and healing in the name of Jesus Christ. And what Paul had just told them is this. This man, Jesus, that was crucified on Calvary's cross. If you want to know who's responsible, you are. Now stay with me. He said, if you want to know who's responsible, Keith, and you want to point the finger, you are. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear me today. If you would like to know who is responsible for the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, take all five fingers on both of your hands, point them at your heart, and say, it was my sin that caused him to go to the cross. Oh, God, help us today to know that. They were a little shocked by Peter's message. You know, I told you I had this lady one time say to me, she says, I'm just shocked at things that comes out of your mouth. And I said, lady, you ought to hear them before the filter catches them. Amen. Woo! If you think you'd be shocked by the preaching of a modern day preacher, think about the shock that they had with a Holy Ghost filled Peter standing before them. He told them, you're responsible. But he said, here's the good news. This Jesus that you crucified, he's no longer dead. He's alive. Did we just sing about that? Oh, I've come to tell you he's alive and that he dries every tear that falls. He had been exalted to the right hand of God. And now here's what he's saying. Y'all are experiencing the promise of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit of God that has been prophesied for years and years and years. You are experiencing that now. See, the multitude just had one thing in mind after they heard this. Wait a minute. If I'm responsible, what shall I do? See, today you'll hear the gospel and you'll have to make a decision. What will I do for the gospel? They had to make that decision. They just had one thing in mind, and they knew that this message demanded a decision on their part. You may be here today, you may be asking the same question. You may have come to see somebody baptized that you love, and maybe a family member or friend, and you may be saying, if they made this decision, what must I do? And if you haven't made a decision to come to Christ, today would be your best time to just come to Jesus today. Just turn loose of all that junk and all the things in the world that hold you back and just run to the arms of Jesus. I tell you, it'll be the sweetest surrender you ever had. It was a pressing request. Notice the second thing with me is Peter talked. There were some pronounced remarks. Peter answers them, don't he? He's ready, ain't he? He's no longer bumbling around, sticking his foot in his mouth every time he opens his mouth and saying dumb things and doing dumb things. Now Peter is full of the Holy Ghost. He is a totally new creature in Christ, and now he speaks clearly and boldly, and he tells him, here's what you need to do. You need to repent, and you need to be baptized. Well, they must deal with some things. They must deal with the issue of sin. They must deal with the issue of sin internally while professing their new life in Christ externally. The word repent, you need to know, friend, is very important. I've heard people tell me this before. Preacher, you don't have to tell folks in the Bible Belt what repent means. Everybody knows. Well, evidently not. Evidently, we don't know what it means because there's not enough of it going on. The word repent literally means to change directions. It means to agree with God about your sin. We're real good at saying, well, God, it's not that bad. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I didn't do what they did. They're much worse. And you start judging yourself by other people, which is dangerous. You never judge your righteousness before other people, because as a follower of Jesus Christ, you realize that every ounce of righteousness that you could ever muster came from Jesus Christ himself when he imputed it to you. You have nothing to brag about or boast of, and he will always be your standard. If anybody else is your standard of righteousness, you're shooting too low. It means to change directions, agree with God. It means that you don't minimize or ignore your sin. It means that you are aware of your sin. You confess your sin to the only one who can forgive your sin. And the Holy Spirit brings conviction to us, and it makes us aware of this need to repent. Peter tells them that this repentance will even have a profound effect on their children. Listen to me, Dad. Statistically, they tell us that when a daddy comes to faith in Jesus Christ, 93% of the time, mama and the babies follow the lead of daddy. When mama comes first, it's less. When the children come first, it's less. But if you're a daddy here today, and you're a mama here today, and your babies know Jesus, and they met Jesus, and they went through that pool today, and you don't know Jesus, you're not repenting of your sin, and you're not trusting Jesus, let your children be an example of what God wants to do in your life today. Amen? And if you're a child here today, and mom and daddy loves Jesus, you need to thank God for the privilege of being raised in a godly home. I mean that so much. But he also promises this, that your repentance will come with a promise. It comes with a promise of being filled and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I believe scripturally right here, some will disagree, and that's okay. They got the right to be wrong. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit indwells a new believer at the moment of salvation. The very moment you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you get a new resident king in the castle of your heart. And his name is the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity. He takes up residence there. You know what he does? He guides you and he continues to convict you of sin throughout your life. You say, well, I don't need anybody to do that. I'm married, preacher. Well, you don't believe this, but I've known men can hide things from their wives. I've known wives that can hide things from their husbands. I've known children that can hide things from their parents. I've known parents that can hide things from their children. I've known congregation people can hide things from their preacher and everything else. But can I tell you this? You will never, ever hide from God. Amen. Is I'm buzzing, Stevie? Is it me? Right here? How about this? How about that? I don't know. I'm going to press on, okay? It's good. Look at verse 40 with me, if you will. He says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them. Have you ever stopped and wondered sometimes, wondered what those other words were? Imagine what all Peter had to say. He said, with many other words. That's why I don't see any problem with preaching a little while, because Peter had many words. You know, they tell me the average sermon's about 30,000 words. I'll try to go for 50, but I don't know. But here's it is. Here's what he did. But he summed up and said this. Be saved from this perverse generation. Can I say to you in 2023 here in Heflin, Alabama, if you don't know Jesus, be saved from this perverse generation that we're living in. See, the days are evil as they are today. They were evil then. And we need people today who will still send a clear and resounding call to be saved. Notice the third thing with me, and I'm done. There was a prompt response. Peter listened to their pressing requests. He had some pronounced remarks. And now there is a prompt response. Then without delay, here's what happened. All. Did you see that word all? You know what all means? All. Yeah, every one of them. All were baptized. And they submitted willingly. So what does it mean to be baptized? Why is it so important? Real quick here. First, let's talk about the method. Some say the method doesn't matter. Some say I got water poured on my head as an infant. I got sprinkled, or maybe you followed the method as we saw today, immersion. And some would say the method doesn't matter, but can I tell you it does? Let me tell you why it matters. The word baptize is an untranslated word in your English Bible. In 1611, you're aware, King James I commissioned the English translation known as our King James Version today. Even though what we have now has been revised about 17 times since that day, he would have been very offended had they translated the word baptized to immersion. The scholars decided to take the Greek word baptizo and just make an English word out of it, the word baptized. Here's what it means. It means to immerse, dip completely, or even to drown. Aren't y'all glad, youngins, we didn't practice that part today? We got you completely. Somebody a little resistant, man. That's why I had to put my Planet Fitness forearms in the van. Here's what it is. This is why immersion is so important. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And when you go under the water, you're placed in a liquid grave. And according to Romans 6:4, you're buried with him through baptism. And when we come up out of the water, we are raised to walk in newness of life. The method does matter. And then finally is the motive. We have a master to confess, and we need to be unashamed of him. I heard the story of a little boy. You guys like a little boy. He'd gotten saved in his Sunday school class. The pastor was coming down the hallway, and Sunday school teacher said, well, go tell pastor that you need to be baptized because you just got saved. You got saved and he'd be baptized. He went up to the pastor and he said, Pastor, I just got saved this morning. My teacher said it's time for me to be advertised. It's not the right word. but he's got his theology pretty straight, don't he? Y'all know what y'all young folks do today, and any of you others that have been baptized recently? Even my buddy Mr. Owens, his family got COVID this week, and all. I mean, we got baptized last week, didn't have COVID this week. But I mean, look here. Even no matter what, listen, you are a walking advertisement for the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And don't ever be ashamed of that. Don't ever be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed to walk the halls of your high school and in your town professing Jesus, and not just professing but possessing and living like it. Don't be ashamed. There are enough people doing all sorts of stuff, drinking this, shooting that, snorting this, and making up all kinds of things and lying and stealing and cheating. It's time for God to raise up a generation of young people who will walk with God and be unashamed of it and have a church that'll support them. We got a mandate to complete, church. We didn't get a request from Jesus to be baptized. It's a command. Did you read it in the Great Commission? Go ye therefore, teaching them, preaching, baptizing. Deserve all things that I command you. It's a command. And I'll just say this, and this is what I said to the Sunday school teacher that was telling those young teenage boys and girls they didn't need to be baptized, they'd gotten saved. He told me it wasn't important. And I said, sir, you believe the Bible? Oh, yeah. I said, well, do you know that they tell us that Jesus Christ walked between 60 and 70 miles to get to the Jordan River? Now, he didn't have an Uber. He didn't have a Honda, a Toyota, or a Ford, or a Chevy. He didn't have an airplane. Didn't have a Greyhound. He didn't even have a new pair of Adidas. And he walked. If my Lord's going to walk 60 or 70 miles to do something over cobblestone roads and rough terrain, and wore out old strapped sandals or whatever he could find, I think I can walk from the pew to the platform. Some of you here today, you need to repent of your sin and trust Jesus as Savior. You need to follow the lead of a friend, family member. Then you know what you need to do when you get saved? You need to take your first step of obedience, and you need to be baptized. I want to say this to you, too. Some of you here may have been baptized years ago, but it was before you truly repented of your sin. Before you truly became a believer. You became a believer, a true follower of Christ at a later time. You were baptized on the front of your salvation instead of on the rear. You say, well, what does it matter, preacher? No big deal. Well, I want you to know, you may say my salvation is secure, but I want you to know you're living life out of order. Baptism should always follow salvation. I'll never forget hearing it as a young preacher. The great Latino Hispanic evangelist Angel Martinez that preached when my wife was saved at First Baptist Church of Arkansas City, Texas in 1983. I remember him having this wonderful sermon. He preached it everywhere, and people came to Jesus in droves, and he called it his baseball sermon. He used a baseball diamond, home plate, first base, second base, third base. Here's what he said. When you get in the batter's box, you swing. First base is salvation. Second base is baptism. He said, and if you've got those out of order, you need to come get them right today and get your baptism on the right side of your salvation so you can walk in obedience. Third base was service and home base was heaven. He went and preached about a baseball diamond and led none told scores of people to Jesus. Some of you today just need to get that in order. Some of you have been praying and searching, saying, I need somewhere to plug in. I need somewhere to be a part of a family that's got a real heart for our neighbors and the nations. I need somewhere to be on board where I can serve and not just occupy space. Whatever God's led you to do, whatever decisions you need to make, friend, hear me. Do not delay. Thinking wrong, thinking long is thinking wrong. You say, there's a lot of people here today. I'll wait till a more convenient time. The God of the universe holds your heartbeat in his hand. The convenient time is when he speaks to you. You must come. And would you honor God today as my prayer? Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, may you do what only you can do today. May you rescue someone from their sin and their self. And may someone today come to know you, walk in newness of life. May they have been inspired and encouraged by the testimony of these 14 precious souls who came to faith in Christ, publicly confessed him. May their lost friends and family members say, I want to be like my loved one. I want to be with them in heaven, and I can't be with them like I am. May you break the yoke today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you stand with me all across the house, on the balcony, on the floor, in the choir hall? If God has spoke to your heart today, hear me, friend. We're here to help you, and we want to be your friend. And we want to help lead you to faith and the dearest friend you'll ever have. Would you honor God as Marty leads us when you're ready?
White as snow. White as snow. White as snow.
Coming now. I tell you, if y'all all come back next week, we'll have to spread some walls, but we'll do it. Amen. We'll do whatever it takes. I tell you, God is really blessed, and he has definitely encouraged us greatly in these days. And as we give today, just remember, I always try to remind you, God's give you a part in his church. And according to the word of God, that's something that hell itself can't even stop. Amen. So as being a part of this church, you give faithfully and sacrificially and joyfully, not for what it will do for you or what it will do for your church, but what it will do for others through your faithfulness to join God in his mission to touch the world with the gospel. Amen? Amen. So we give today. Let's join our hearts together and ask God's blessings on our giving. Just the way we practiced, wasn't it, Kyle? I tell you, I spend so much time getting these singers on them high notes and getting Miss Connie worked up on her endings. I tell you what, I don't know what y'all do without me. No, it's certainly not for my musical prowess, that's for sure. But, hey, it's just a blessing to be in the house of God. Would you do me one favor? Let's give the Lord one more hand of praise and what he's done to us. I told Angie I was really glad that I've been able to get some fix on my hearing recently. She's glad. She don't have to repeat herself over and over. But I went reading through and we're studying through Revelation. I know it's going to be a really loud place when we get to glory. I know a lot of Baptists are really going to be messed up. But I got thinking about how, you know, I'm glad I'm going to be able to hear well. But you know, the other thing, I have a great glorified body. It'll be about 25 years old and a six pack and you know, maybe 175 pounds. And I don't know. But anyhow, I don't know. But God, I'm just thinking more about glory every day I live, don't you? But it's been a joy for you to be here today, all of us. Remember, 6 o'clock on Wednesday night, our students, our children, and our adults all meet at that time. If you have a young person in a child or student, grandparent, grandchild or child, we really encourage you to have them part of important youth ministry. And Benita, I want to tell you, I took up for you, okay? Rihanna told me you were an aunt. I said, Benita's one of the sweetest people I know. And she started doing like this. And I said, no, we talking about a different person. I said, she's a sweetheart. And she said, oh. But anyway, I said, so I took over for you, sis, all right? So you get home for lunch, you'll be saying, that preacher talking about you. And Benita, no, that ain't true. But anyhow, God is good, and I'm just so thankful for his goodness, aren't you? And I just want you to know, and you never forget this, that I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Amen? Yes, ma'am. Oh, what now? Oh, yeah, I forgot my girls here. I hadn't forgot them. I was just seeing if y'all remember. Come here, Caitlin and Katie. Come here. Y'all can't tell if these girls are sisters. All right, but anyhow, the Hendricks girls, Kaylee and Caitlin, recently came to faith in Jesus Christ here, and they're following the Lord in believers' baptism on the 19th on Youth Day, 2 weeks from today. So would you join me in celebrating them? Thank y'all. Church family, if you can, on your way out, come by and just hug their neck, tell them you're praying for them. I'm going to be at the back. If God spoke to your heart today, you need to make any decision at all for him, please know we're there for you. We rejoice too. Now, Jordan or Jalen, Wednesday night? Jordan, right? Okay. Jordan gave his heart to Jesus Wednesday night too, so you rejoice with Jordan. Hey. The reason I had to ask which one is they're always tricking me, telling me they're the other one. And but I got them now. But I'm so proud of them, and you just love them, pray for them. And, hey, I look around here and see all my old coaches. Look here, Coach O, Coach Short, Coach Perry. Lord have mercy, I got to get out of here before y'all start talking, right? Hey, it's so good to see all you, Dad. I love you. And we'll be at the back to get you on the way out. Marty's going to sing us out. Whoops, I'm sorry, Kaylee. Marty's going to say, let's stand. Marty's going to sing us out. Y'all just wait right here, okay?